Well, this passage, Psalm 103, has entered the hearts and lives of people all over the world through a song that's been so popular through Matt Redman, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. There have been other hymns by that title based on Psalm 103, but it's all out of verse 1 of Psalm 103. And, frankly, we could use the entire psalm for the basis of our message today. The first one reads, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Let's pray. God, in your heart is a message you'd speak to every single person here. In this space, God, that is set apart as holy and sanctified and sacred, we have the freedom to experience the movement of your Spirit among us. And under the sound of the preaching voice, but certainly the inward speaking voice of your Spirit, we know that our thoughts and the conversation we have with you will be very fruitful inwardly. Our lives will be affected and changed, and the world will be changed if we live out what we hear. Come, Holy Spirit, in this time. Make your word primary in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the first things I want to say, and really maybe the most critical lesson out of the whole message today, is to see what King David is doing. He wrote this psalm to himself, and it was an instruction to himself to praise the Lord, to bless God. And then he goes on to give sort of a laundry list of the reasons, but primarily he's saying to himself, self, bless the Lord. And I don't want you to miss that part of it. It sounds funny, but it's a crucial lesson. And once a person learns this specific thing, they move to a different level in their discipleship. And that is that you can indeed will yourself to praise God. You can decide. You're not a victim or a prisoner of your emotions. You are not your emotions. You are a thinking being. You can will to do. And as King David gives us an example, he says to himself, Bless the Lord, O my soul. And so the very first thing here is, it's not impossible in any state of life, any condition of life, any emotional condition of life, to praise the Lord. And so David wills to himself, praise the Lord. And then it doesn't just happen, right? But he goes on to list the reasons why. If you're reading Psalm 103, he goes on to say, forgiveness. Bless the Lord. He heals me. Praise the Lord. He fills my life with love, goodness, and mercy. Praise the Lord. And in the last 5 or 6 verses, he just pulls the stops out. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. He's the one who redeems my life from the pit. Bless the Lord, O my soul. At Behold, our annual conference last week, Bishop Moore quoted John Piper, and as I looked into this, I found that he says all kind of various things have been attributed to him, but essentially this is a paraphrase that he said, supposedly. Listen, you may want to write this down if you write stuff anywhere. God is always doing 10,000 things in your life, and at any given time, you may only be aware of 3 of them. God is always and at all times doing at least 10,000 things in your life. And at any given time, you may only be aware of 3 of them. Anybody who's honest enough to admit that there have been certain times when it might have been a little hard to get your praise motor started. Kevin used to say his rebuker was broken. And I thought that was so funny, but in a lot of ways our praiser is broken too, isn't it? That sometimes we just can't get it going. Our heart is sitting where our will should be. And so I want to look at that a little bit. This song, "Bless the Lord, O My Soul," by Matt Redman. When Piper was talking about this, he said, God means for us to worship His holy name. Worship is reserved for God Almighty, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's nothing else in the world, no one else in the world, and no other condition in the world in which there should be worship except for God being God. God is almighty. God is omnipotent. God is all present. We worship God. But as Matt Redman says, we worship God when life is good. Right? The sun comes up and a new day is dawning. All right? It's easy to see His goodness. It's easy to lay there and just reflect on His kindness while birds sing outside your window. It's easy to find patience and goodness when we're not being challenged while we're flat on our back in bed. But then there's the whatever may pass and whatever, right? For years, Joy has prayed at breakfast the same phrase in her prayer. For this, and some days I have just sat there and got stuck because of that prayer. She says, "Thank you for this day and everything in it." And sometimes I'm sitting there thinking, I know what's in this. I'm not ready to praise you, God. Thank you for this day and everything in it. Redman is saying in the song, whatever may pass today, I have no clue about. Whatever lies before me that I have no control over, I praise you, God. I bless your name. These are the difficult times, right? To bless God. To acknowledge Him. We may have 10,000 reasons. We may know three of them in good times. But only one reason can do in the worst. God is God. God is the only one worthy of our praise. The act of blessing God in our worst times signifies something about us. It acknowledges our weakness and our smallness. It acknowledges that we don't know the best. And sometimes some things are the best and we just don't, we're not willing to admit it, that it's for the best. I've recently been in conversation with a couple of people about people we've lost. You know, people who are dear to us, loved ones, family members. But in reflecting on the time, intervening time since they've passed, you kind of go, God decided it was for the best. And somehow I have to acknowledge God knows best. Even when things seem to be out of control. It's in life's toughest seasons. It's when we feel the losses the greatest. And we learn to worship at new depths. Job had everything stripped away by God's permission. He was left with just himself. In the middle of the road, he sits down and he just worships and blesses God. That wasn't a sudden thing for Job. He understood the essence of worshiping at the worst times. You, in order to be able to do that, your mind has to be in control. You can't be emotionally unhinged. You have to direct your praise to God and worship Him in completeness and devotion.
Bishop Moore also said last week that so many of us spend so much time looking backwards that we're running into the future. You know, you're having a head-on collision with what's next. You spend so much time looking at her. There's a reason why it's just a little old tiny mirror, but, you know. She said, some of you need to break off your rearview mirror and get a bigger windshield. And I thought, how appropriate that was. Some of us need to get our eyes off of that rear view, the way things have been, the mess we've made, the catastrophes that we were involved in, and yes, the loss and pain. I've often said that one of the church's biggest mistakes is gathering everybody. We all huddle at the cross. We know our redemption, that blood that flowed off Jesus' toes and dripped on us, right? That is the means of our salvation, the shed blood of Jesus.
Amen.
But what Jesus commissioned us to do was to organize and go out. He said, go into all the world. And so often the church is huddled at the foot of the cross like it was a mast on a ship. Right? And all of us wounded and hurting, trying to live through the storm. It's the wrong image, folks. That cross, even Jesus got down off that cross and got up out of the grave and rose again. And we move on to deeper things in life. And so often pain is the vehicle for us to travel through, to go beyond the cross into eternal life. As I often say, my eternal life has already begun. I'm not waiting for some future far off day. The cross and the empty tomb secure my eternal life. And I have begun to live it, even in such a small way. God's the God of the mountain, for true. But God's also the God of the valleys. God is not going with us just from peak to peak to peak. But God is with us in the valley where we grow and where we mature and where we deepen in our grip, our faith and our trust in Him. But as the song says, when our strength is failing and the end draws near, right? Or the end of a loved one's life draws near. This is times when we discover, like never before, that God is truly with us and comforting us. He's really all we need. That leads us to one more point we can make if we have three reasons out of 10,000 this morning. It all highlights the fact that God is in control and we are not. And let the world rejoice. Man, if you guys had to live in a world that I was in charge of, some of you wouldn't make it. Just telling you. God is the one who's in control. God is the one who's in charge. And He will lead us if we allow Him. In Acts 16, Luke is writing about Paul and his journey. And as they were trying to discern their path in ministry, Paul is blocked by the Holy Spirit to go into Asia. You can imagine his state of mind as he's trying to plan this excursion into Asia, and he keeps getting blocked and blocked and blocked. And finally he goes, Holy Spirit doesn't want us in Asia. So they start out in the only direction they can, and they go through Phrygia and Galatia. And because they did that, they went on up to, Mysia. But from there, they tried to go into Bithynia. And the Holy Spirit blocked them again. And so this process of discerning the way forward was really bumping against boundaries. The regions where the Holy Spirit shut off their opportunities and enabled them to go in other ways. But in the night, Paul had a vision. And in the vision is a man from Macedonia. He was standing and calling out to Paul, come over here to us.
And because the Holy Spirit had maneuvered them like rats in a maze, they were in the exact position to go over to Macedonia, which they did. And the Holy Spirit blessed them. They concluded that God called them there to preach the gospel. And of course, we know that what happened. And that's because God is for you. God's not trying to stop you. God isn't trying to say that you need to be eliminated or extinguished or put out. Oh, God is for you. And sometimes, in ways we don't understand, it can cost us great harm or even death. But that does not negate the fact that God is still for you. He is for you. Bless the Lord, all his works, in the places of all his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. David concludes his song. God is God. So I came up with my three. God is God. God is for me. And God is guiding me. Those are all reasons for me to bless God today. Even in the face of so much trouble, I will praise and bless his name. I will. W-I-L-L is will. I will to do a thing. And because I decide to do it, I order and command my soul to carry out praise. I will carry it out and I will dig my way out in praise. The Holy Spirit will lift me up to the place of praise. And in sadness, and in goodness and gladness, in all ways, worship will be rooted in my heart when I will myself to bless the Lord, O my soul. And we couldn't end it better with a, is that a gumdrop sonata? Not sure. You can't ever stop or get away from your grandchildren pursuing you, Martha. It's going to go on until you. Please just don't say hello. Oh, man. What could be more embarrassing instead of having your kids running around all over your head? Bless the Lord. We are emphasizing the sacraments these days and pointing out the beauty of what God has given us at this table. Jesus hosts a meal for us. It's not a Methodist meal or a Baptist meal. It's Jesus' meal. He promised that in bread and in juice, the symbols of the vine, that he would be present in a way. Now, it's not physical flesh and not physically blood. But when we receive these with a certain spiritual attitude, it becomes his flesh and blood for us. We experience Christ in a new and deeper, more intimate way. And so as we approach this mystery today, I just call you to be mindful of what it is you're receiving. And remember now, you know, the train is leaving the station.
It's a new phone. It's a new phone.
I know, honey. I'm so sorry. You can always tell the people who are over 30. I almost.
It's that last train to Clarksville.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to join in together in the great Thanksgiving.